What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Mastery Podcast. I hope you are doing well. I have a very special episode for you today. Episode number 58 is another client of mine, colleague, friend, somebody that I've known for a long time, and somebody that's going to add a lot of value to you guys. I've got Libby Smith on the show, and basically, we're going to be talking to you about finding your voice in the fitness industry. Now, I'm going to let Libby introduce herself to you guys and just give you guys an overview of kind of who she is. She does own her own gym, so I'll let her tell you a little bit about that. And also, Libby, please, before I welcome you on the show, let me know how you found out about me initially and kind of where our relationship has developed. But guys, I would like to introduce you to Libby. Libby, welcome on to the Mastery Podcast.
Thanks very much, Mark. That's quite a welcome. I wouldn't have accepted that.
No, well, thank you. Libby, just do us a favor and just introduce yourself, what you're currently doing right now, and just also like how you and I first met.
Okay, so like Mark said, I'm Libby Smith and I'm a personal trainer. And just a year ago, I opened my own facility with my business partner, Ben Wood, Form Personal Training in Manchester. And prior to that, I met Mark about 5-6 years ago now. And the first ever encounter with Mark was when I did the 8-week physique that I'm sure quite a few people might have seen and done themselves. And for me, this was kind of a big turning point in my career because I really felt like it gave me a lot of direction and a lot of, it kind of brought together all the knowledge that I'd acquired over the last 11 years of being a personal trainer and kind of it put me in the right direction of where I wanted to be. So after doing the 8-week physique, I thought, right, I want a little bit more of this. So contacted Mark and did an intern with him and with my business partner, Ben. We did that about 5 years ago. And that's kind of when our kind of relationship and journey began.
Amazing. Well, guys, you're in for a bit of a treat today because I have a lot of respect for Libby. When we first met each other when she came for the internship, I knew immediately that Libby was a lady that was going to go on to do great things in the fitness industry. She hasn't stopped since the day I've met her. I was privileged enough to have Libby on my mastermind program right at the beginning. And so she went through a 6-month journey with me while she was in the stages of opening up Form. We'll talk a little bit about that at some point during the podcast. But for any of you who listen to the podcast who are females, you may find the whole idea of finding your voice in the fitness industry, kind of what either makes you unique, what makes you stand out, how do you present either your content, how do you know your journey? And Libby's done this very, very well in a very unique way. And I kind of want to use the podcast today to give you an opportunity to listen to a little bit of kind of where Libby's been, listen to Libby's advice. And also, if you're somebody that wants to make a success of themselves in the fitness industry, you'll do well to listen to Libby. Now, going back, Libby, right to the beginning, I know the listeners don't know, but I know that you've been on a bit of a journey to where you are now. How did PT all begin for you?
So I started out in my PT career, like I said, about 11 years ago, and I was just out of university, had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do, but I knew that I needed to be in the health and fitness industry, but I didn't know what that looked like. So I decided to do a course called Total Immersion, which was a future fit learning course, which basically made me a qualified Pilates instructor, step aerobics instructor, spin class instructor, personal trainer, you know, every single thing. I was jack of all trades. And so I did that. It took me a year to become qualified in all these things because I did it whilst I was working at the same time. And once I finally become qualified, I thought, right, what am I going to do with myself? So I decided that I was going to get into personal training. And I went on to my first ever facility, my first ever job, which was at a local Spire health and wellness facility, which is one of the like the Holiday Inn health and wellness centres. I'm sure people have heard of that before. And I did a year there as just a basic level 3 coach. Well, basically, I was cleaning machines. That's what I was pretty much doing for a year. But it gave me some groundwork and it gave me, you know, a bit of an idea of what to expect in the fitness industry. So after doing a year there, I was then lucky enough to get a job as a fitness manager at a JJB that had just opened in Morecambe, half an hour down the road from where I lived. So I did a year there managing personal trainers, which, you know, in retrospect, now looking at it, it was far out of my depth because I was so new to the industry. I'd never had much experience being a personal trainer myself, but I just managed to land this job. And I did that for a year, and I realised that actually I didn't like being a manager. It was what I was passionate about. So I then decided to look for an actual, you know, hands-on personal training job. And that's where the job at David Lloyd in Cheadle came about. So I went on a big open day there, and that's where I actually met my current business partner, Ben. We both did the open day together, and we both got put through to David Lloyd at Cheadle, where we technically started our fitness journeys. So I then worked at David Lloyd for three and a half years, where, you know, it absolutely grafted for about three and a half years. You know, it was in at 6:30 every single morning, doing pull checks, cleaning kit, you know, doing all the horrible stuff that you've got to do as a personal trainer. You know, you're in from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, but you're training clients in between and you're doing all the jobs that the facility wanted you to do as well. But it was hard at the time, but looking back, that actually was gave me some brilliant experience of getting hands-on with clients.
And do you mind if I just jump in there, Libby, because this is such an important part. We are going to be moving through the podcast to talking about how Libby's made a success, a very big success of what she's achieved in the fitness industry. But that early 3 to 4 years of graft from the early hours of the morning till late at night, it's important for all trainers, right?
Oh, huge. I think if you don't do that, you're missing out on a large part of what personal training's about. That it gave me, to be fair, that was probably the best experience, you know, hands-on experience that I've had as a personal trainer was those years at David Lloyd.
And just while we're on this subject of hands-on experience, what are your thoughts right now on trainers that are very new to the fitness industry jumping straight into online training?
You know what? I've been a PT now for 11 years and I'm not even comfortable with doing online training. It's not easy at all. You know, it's not easy. You don't understand how your clients tick. You don't understand psychology. You don't understand, you know, programming nutrition plans. And to then go straight into an online training, personally, for me, that's not something that I find easy. And I don't think people, you know, maybe do that well, if I'm honest with you. To get a result out of an online client is so difficult.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just 1 second. Sorry, Mark.
It's all right.
Yeah, so I would say, yeah, it's not something that I would easily recommend.
And do you know, on that point, which is really, really important, we just let everybody know, Libby's actually kindly enough given up some time in the gym. So if we get anybody jumping in the room at any point, she's at work. And the important thing here for us both, having Libby's done 11 years, I've done over 15 years, is every component that you learn about personal training on the ground eventually has an immense carryover to online coaching. And you've just said that. And if you are going to work online, it's not a case of emails backwards and forwards, right? It's a case of you're still coaching somebody. And I think a lot of people think online training is email training.
Yeah, definitely. It's no way. No way is it that. I actually think online training would be more difficult than one-on-one training. It's got to be a lot more that goes into it to get a result out of a client.
We've got to ask a lot more questions, right? We've got to ask a lot more of the person. We've got to find out what their struggles are. We've got to find out and ask more questions about their health, recovery, stuff that we actually find out face to face. But you know, if you're not asking the right questions online, you're missing the trick of getting people in shape. And I think it's very important for me and you to cover that subject on the podcast, because so many people are quite delusional of the fact that, you know, I'll do a year. I don't want to do the 5:30 a.m. starts. What's the easy solution? And the easy solution is not jumping online.
No, definitely not.
And you know, it's really great to have somebody that's been in the industry a long time saying that. And that's not, you know, from our perspective, saying, you know, people shouldn't do it. It's still coaching at the end of the day, and you need to be a good skilled coach to be able to do that and offer a good level of service. So your coaching went from doing the 3 to 4 hours crazy, you know, the 3 or 4 years of really long, long hours. Where did it take you from there?
So interestingly, what happened whilst I was at David Lloyd, one of my clients who owns a marketing company, quite high flying guy, approached me and said he wanted to go into business with me. And the dream was to open loads of gyms and do all this amazing stuff. And obviously, being quite young in my career, I thought, yeah, what a great idea. So I decided to do that. I kind of went on board with him and thought, right, this is my opportunity to go self-employed. So I then left David Lloyd and went and worked at a very small private facility in Didsbury, where there may have been two other personal trainers, absolute minimal kit, zero atmosphere, quite difficult, but it was just me getting out of David Lloyd and setting up my own company. So, that was such a big step for me. But obviously, I had the confidence that I had someone who potentially in the next few years may invest loads of money and we could open loads of gyms and everything would be amazing. So I did that for that was about 2 years actually. And by that point, I'll be completely honest with you, I was so lonely as a personal trainer. It was miserable. I would much rather have been at a David Lloyd where I was surrounded by other trainers and friends and people and clients that I thought I can't be in this facility anymore. So
So were
I then,
you're on your own, right?
oh, totally on your own. It was so isolated. I think I was a little bit depressed. Well, looking back, it was pretty miserable at that point. But again, I learned a lot of lessons being in that facility because I realized, the day when I open my own facility, it's not going to be like that facility.
And do you know what, Libby, on that point, right? I had, very much like you, M10, the first gym I had 2 years on my own. The loneliest time of my life.
Yes, horrible.
And I found myself going to another gym just to train there where other people were. And the funny thing is, if you're listening to this podcast and your whole idea is, oh, I'm going to open up my own studio, I'm going to advise people opening up your own studio on your own is a stagnant part of your career. Because you're going to find yourself uninspired, unmotivated. You're going to work hard to try and develop something, but you're going to find yourself stagnating for quite a while unless you're driven enough to kind of push that on to the next level. What did you do once you kind of realized that the studio wasn't the thing for you?
So I then decided that I was going to go and work out of a studio that a lot of my old colleagues from David Lloyd had actually transitioned to in Stockport. So there was about 10 of us there, and I knew quite a lot of the faces there. And it wasn't the kind of place where I knew I was going to end up, but I knew it would just get rid of that lonely factor, and then I'd have something, and just enjoy going back to work again and have a bit of fun at work. Whilst working with my business partner, who at the time, so I was there for about 2.5 years, and in that time, being completely honest, absolutely nothing happened with my business partner. There was no kind of progression with business. What I would say is that I got a lot of good business advice from him, but the business never progressed. And again, it's because I was still in a very lonely place, because even though I was working with, 10 other guys, like-minded guys, you don't bounce off each other in the fitness industry. This is something that I've always really struggled with, is that it is a very isolated industry, and everybody likes to keep their cards close to the chest. There's no sharing of like education, ideas. And if you've got a problem with your client, nobody's willing to help each other because it's a very macho industry, which, unfortunately, people don't help each other. So I'd done my 2.5 years in this other facility, and at that point I decided, right, I don't want to be here anymore because this isn't I'm ready to move to the next place. And I knew at that point as well that I didn't want to be in business with my business partner at that time. So it was probably the worst. This is Christmas time, and it was probably the most awful time for me. I'd probably say in my career as a personal trainer, I decided to leave Stockport and make the plunge and go into Manchester City Centre because I knew long term I always wanted to be in the city. And I also decided that that was it with my business partner. But as a consequence of splitting with my business partner, I obviously had to pay out quite a substantial amount of money that I'd saved over the last 4 years of being in business with him over to him as kind of a payout, which it was a pill to swallow. But looking back, I don't regret it at all because I've learned so much from that experience, and I got some great contacts from knowing that guy that it's actually really helped me to get to this point where I am now with, in my career.
Well, do you know one of the things that I was really, really interesting when I first met you, and this is something that not a lot of people do, you invested very early on, whether it was a business relationship or a partnership or whatever we're going to call it, in somebody who knows business. And I will say right now, there's not a lot of trainers that know business. What are some of the valuable lessons you took away in business from your business partner?
What are some of the valuable lessons, did you
Yeah, yeah,
say?
yeah. I mean, you said that you know, whilst you didn't get the business that you wanted from it, you did learn some valuable business.
Oh my God, honestly, so much stuff. So
Couple
with them
of key
having,
ones.
I'd say one of the biggest ones was actually having a business plan and having an idea of what my business was going to be in the future. That was huge. Understanding things like your demographic, understanding how you were going to get there, so reverse engineering to from where you were to, from where you wanted to be, sorry, to where you actually were. Understanding brand, understanding identity, understanding how all that fits together alongside your business plan, and it's not just, cuffing it along the way, like a lot of, unfortunately, personal training facilities tend to do, and it's just kind of trial and error, and eventually they may get to where they want to be, or unfortunately, it doesn't, they don't get to where they want to be. So I learned some absolutely huge lessons with that guy, and I don't regret a thing at all.
Well, do you know what's really interesting? And you and I have talked at this at length before, especially even being on the mastermind. You know, one of the things that was kind of brought up was, what's your message, what's your mission, and what's your vision, right? And one of the things that's very, very clear is you know where you want to go. And with females in the fitness industry, as you've alluded to just now, some people, if they just don't find their way, give up. And this is the same for guys as well. And females in the fitness industry, I see, do struggle. They struggle to either develop a client base or they try and attach on to the way that somebody else is running their business and it doesn't kind of work for them. You've been able to not only grow a following, but you've been able to develop a voice in the fitness industry, a voice that has inspired people to sign up with you, had a full diary all the time. What do you think has allowed you to kind of develop to that stage of, I use a voice to anybody that's listening right now. A voice is just an understanding of the message that you're delivering, right? And you understand your message. And I remember being on the mastermind and you said to me, you know, you want to empower women and allow them and trainers and female trainers to know that it's possible to cut through all this stereotype and be the person that you want to be and the coach you want to be. How have you been able to do that?
I think one of the main things is that I am genuinely really passionate about what I do, and I genuinely couldn't think of anything else that I would want to do other than be in the fitness industry and, become a better personal trainer and grow my business. That's something that I've always been really passionate about. And, I think as well for me, because I've always hugely been into health and fitness and sports and everything, I am a very, very competitive person. So if somebody will say to me, you can't do it, and oh, you've not got it in you, which I've had so many times throughout my career, that just fuels the fire for me, and it just makes me want to prove people wrong. And I think being a female PT in a very male-dominated industry, I wanted to prove that point, sorry to say, but without getting my tits out, which, that's something that I'm not against, because I think, a lot of females probably do make quite a lot of money from that in this industry. But I wanted to prove that actually females can be just as strong, if not better than males, because, we've got so many other qualities that males don't possess, which we can bring into the industry. It's just having the confidence that you can deliver that and that people will take you seriously. It's just, you've actually got to take yourself seriously if you want to be taken seriously in this industry. And that's something I've been quite, really anal about, that I want to get that out there for people and bring on those same kind of people into our business as well.
And you mentioned something to us to me off the podcast before we came on about kind of the ability that you have to have a kind of masculine edge whilst remaining feminine. How does that impact your, I'd say, the respect you have with your clients? Because I'll tell you what, I know a lot of men that even today I've been through some case studies where clients are just not on board and you have your clients on board. What is it, you know, male and female trainers struggle with this and you have obviously got to the point where people listen to you. I know categorically that your clients respect you. You know, and how did you get to that point where they do?
Well, you know, don't get me wrong, that's not every single client. There's a lot of them who they do their own thing. But something that I've massively had to develop over the my years of being a personal trainer to kind of compete with the guys and make sure that my voice does get heard is, as I mentioned to you before, I have had to create this kind of frosty exterior. I've had to come across a little bit harsh. And, you know, and put on this kind of confident front, which, you know, inside I might not necessarily be confident, but if I don't portray that, then, you know, people won't take you seriously and people will think you're just kind of only going to be in the industry for 2 or 3 years, where, you know, I knew this was going to be something long term for me. So I've had to put that front on and maintain that front. And that's still something I very much do to this day.
Well, do you know, I love the fact that you've said that because Tony Robbins talks about masculine and feminine energy and the fact that men and women, we've all got masculine and feminine, or we should have masculine and feminine energy. And we use our masculine energy as to be strong, driven, powerful, dominating, etc. And then we use our feminine energy to be kind, generous, you know, supportive, loyal, loving, right? And obviously, from a feminine side, a lot of women will have more on the characteristics of that feminine traits, but then you still need the masculine traits for business success, right? And the interesting thing that you've identified is that, you know, I use the word, and you've heard me use it on the mastermind, fluffy. You know, and this whole fluffiness of, you know, somebody comes to you for training and they want to get in shape, we've got to be in control. You know, we actually have to say, this is the coaching process, this is what you've come to me asking for, and I have to have a strong personality to demand or command respect off somebody in order to help them change. And if you have a fluffiness to you and too much of a softness, then that person doesn't have that toughness coming from you, which will allow them to say, do you know what? No, I respect this person and I will push on. And I think what you've just explained is the fact that whilst you are 100% feminine, you've had to use a bit of that masculinity or masculine side to be stronger with the guys, be stronger with your clients, and command the respect to the point where now you have a team working for you, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's a whole new kettle of
We'll
fish.
get on to that in a second because Libby's in the same situation as me with a team and a gym and a business. Now, do you see what are the key differences again for our female listeners and also for guys to understand? What are the big differences between, you know, as a female that you've kind of that you've seen as challenges?
So definitely, like we've just discussed there, being a female in a very male-dominated industry is very, very challenging. And, you know, like you said earlier in the podcast, not many female PTs have a serious career in personal training. Don't get it's not something that they do take seriously. It's kind of a maybe a 2 or 3 year thing. And to be fair, that's with a lot of guys as well. You know, to having wanting to have male PTs on board, that's an issue. And, you know, from their perspective, thinking that females aren't strong enough to coach them when they absolutely are strong enough. Maybe they can't spot them doing a 100 kilo bench press, but that's absolutely irrelevant.
How many guys, how many people can do 100 kg bench press?
Well, exactly. That's the thing.
Well, that's what they all say, right, Libby? Like, people will come in, like, and I've learned this over the years, come from bodybuilding, right? I'm like, what about all these people that want to lift heavy and stuff like that? When you've got guys in the gym, any woman can spot a guy on a hack squat, a leg press. And to be honest with you, within the first 2, 3 years of training, most guys don't get up beyond 35 kg dumbbell press. And providing that they press them right, they just need a little spot. They don't need them lifting off the floor. It's not a kind of a butler service, which I think a lot of people think it is. And you know, from my perspective, I mean, we have over the years had female trainers at M10. We've predominantly got males now. I'm extremely open to females working at M10 in the future. Who we've had apply for positions in the past haven't made the cut over other people. But I think that, as you said, you know, it's highlighted very much that guys and women aren't making that committed push to becoming the best that they can be. And it is giving either the females and males a kind of bad rep that people don't hang around in the fitness industry very long. I do see a slight trend in women not hanging around as long. Do you see that?
Absolutely, definitely.
So I think that hasn't helped people's kind of, you have a female trainer work for a business for a year, and then, we're looking for, honestly, as a personal trainer, you'll know this in your business. We're looking for people that want to get better. We're looking for people that want to progress and grow, because ultimately you're growing a business. And a business, you need somebody alongside you that's going to help support the business grow. And I'm sure you've seen that more than ever now with your business. But before we move on to the kind of moving into your business and what you're doing now and how people can learn from what you're doing right now, if there are females within their first year in the fitness industry right now, two pieces of advice that you would give them, what would they be?
I would say you really do need to be prepared to work hard, and don't be afraid to just get in there and get yourself out there, but in a positive way. But you've got do it in a way that's authentic to yourself. Don't do what everybody else is doing out there. And I am guilty of looking out on the Instagram, social media, whatever, and thinking everybody's out there, they're all taking pictures of the booty shots and doing X, Y, and Z. It's actually, if you don't believe in that, don't do that. Do something that you believe in, because that actually will take you somewhere. Doing what everybody else is will not take you somewhere in this industry. So just be authentic to yourself.
And
It's really important.
I love that you said that authenticity, right? Because, I mean, I've been on social media for a long time and had a lot of people follow me because of a physique or one thing and another. And ultimately, when we break this down, I was literally just on the call to somebody that I mentor over in America today, and her demographic was 25 to 35-year-old women who want to lose weight. Women that want to lose weight need to know what the problem is that you can help them with, how you can help them with their problems, should I say. And ultimately, if it's just consistently pictures of women half naked or guys half naked, it's not solving a problem. And when I see your content, you do help people with their problems. And I think that's something that's very important for people to understand, that you actually talk to people as if you genuinely want to help them with their problems.
Absolutely. But it's taken a long time to actually have the confidence to do that. It's just having the confidence to put that content out there in itself is a big challenge, and people will pick your content apart. But actually, if you do something that you really believe in, then that is going to propel a strong message. So I would definitely say just don't be afraid to do that, regardless of what your experience is in the fitness industry, whether you're entry level or 5, 6 years into the industry, you will have something valuable to offer to people. So be confident enough to do that.
And like you just said, be authentic to you. If what you love doing is fitness, and you want to work with a particular type of people, you've got to portray that, as opposed to trying to portray a message that somebody else is portraying, which isn't authentic to you. Now, we move on, because one of the important things that I want to also talk about is your gym. Because like me, you now own a gym, Form in Manchester City Centre. Whereabouts is it in Manchester City Centre?
We're literally just next to Spinning Field, so right in the city centre.
So if you know Manchester, you'll know that very well. Now, I was lucky enough to kind of be a lot kind of alongside you, understand what you were going through before you opened up the gym. Your facility is a personal training gym, right? And a lot of personal trainers have the vision to do something. If you haven't been on Libby's social media page, what's your Instagram page?
It's Form MCR.
Form MCR. Go and have a look. It's a beautiful facility. You've done an incredible job. But from opening it up, I mean, if you could just tell us, one, who you work with, and I'd love to know some of the challenges that you've faced so far, and at this stage.
So, I work with Ben, who's my business partner, my existing business partner. So, I think just going back to the old story where I got to that point where I decided to split with the investor business partner. I was then in limbo for a little while. So, but me and Ben, the guy that I started in the industry with, we've always been in contact, and we've always kind of said, "Oh, let's do something together." We didn't know what that would be. And when I eventually came into the city centre, me and Ben started working together on some other little projects. And at that time, the Riverside facility complex came up, which is where we currently are now. And bearing in mind that God, I must have looked at five, six different premises over the last 5 years, and every single one of them fell through. It would get to that point where we were just about to sign the lease, and things would just fall through. So losing loads of money, having doors slammed in your face, people pulling out. It has been so difficult to get to that point of actually finding a facility and finding landlords who would take you seriously and think you're not some kind of spit and sawdust gym that's going to rock up in the middle of a corporate environment. So, me and Ben got to this point and it was like, right, we've got this facility. Are we going to go for it? And we were like, right, let's do it, which was all a bit weird because it kind of just happened all of a sudden after a long time. And so at this point, it was all completely financed by ourselves. So we had to go to the bank and get a loan and guarantors and all that kind of thing. So we've had absolutely zero additional help outside of what we've done. And so even that in itself, massive challenge because, you've got to present a lot of information. You need to present detailed business plans about basically how you're going to pay that money back and whether a bank believes in you.
So just on that point, Libby, that's something that most people are pretty delusional about. Forecasts, business plans, presenting to the bank, borrowing money. Most people just think you go in, you pay some rent, and away you go. And like you just said, you will get doors slammed in your face. I had to literally meet investors and prove to them that I wasn't putting a $12.99 a month gym in my spot. And you obviously face this as well. People kind of see that, oh, the fitness industry, gyms and health clubs as a, we don't want you there. But then you do get to the point that, and I'm just going to ask you this, your gym looks lovely. You've invested in quality kit. You've got great signage. It looks great facility in a great location. Why did you choose that location over something that could probably cost you half the rent and invest in cheaper equipment?
Because it wouldn't have fit with the brand identity or our demographic. So, like you said, we could have gone somewhere for, pound a square foot, but actually we've not. We've gone for somewhere substantially much more than that, to be honest. But we know long term that's going to yield the kind of clients that we want that fits in line with our future business plans. That's what the bank knew that they were going to invest in as well. It fits with the whole branding works together to build the business that we want. And that's not in, a rough end of Manchester. That's city centre, prime area, and you're going to get the right kind of clients for that.
And I think, as you said, with the branding, a lot of people kind of, we want to open a personal training studio, forgetting that we've got personal training clients that are going to be spending a lot of money, and they try and choose. A lot of people have said in the past, choose a location that's got cheap facilities. We'll put cheaper equipment in. The problem with that is that the price you're going to try and command is not going to match the audience, correct?
100%.
And you're in an area where people are expecting to pay a little bit more money,
Yeah, definitely.
and that's something that's very, very important. So you kind of got the go ahead with the facility. Any challenges with getting it kitted out and getting all the equipment in?
Oh my God, loads of challenges. So, we've gone from just being personal trainers, delivering a personal training service, and then all of a sudden needing to cohort with lawyers, solicitors, and accountants, and banking people, and honestly, the amount of things that we got thrown at us in that process to set this facility up was outrageous, actually. But actually, again, we learnt a lot. So we're going to know a lot for when, whatever happens in our future. But that was the legal side of it, and the things that you have to pay for that you do not expect is, it's pretty shocking, really. But
Well, one of the things that we went through at length on the mastermind, which was a new to a lot of other people, but you weren't actually new to it, was financing and starting to look at what it costs to do stuff. And I think that, I mean, share your opinions on this, but most personal trainers are pretty poor when it comes to business and money.
Yeah, I agree completely.
And so from your perspective, what's very valuable to anybody listening to this right now is when you go into thinking about opening up a facility, you're going to have business thrust straight at you. And you're going to have to go from being a PT, as Libby said, to a business owner. And I think when you're a business owner, you then need a bit more time. How have you managed time? Like with growing the gym and training clients?
It's been really difficult. I'll be absolutely honest with you. It's not been easy at all. I do. I've been having do, do been doing training with James and being having mentorship with yourself and all these kind of things, and it's given me some level of structure. But actually, the amount of work that's got involved to run our own facility, it's been really, really stressful. It's only now that we're a year into it that I do feel things are just starting to settle down and we're getting good routines and systems in place. But it has been like a headless chicken for the last year trying to understand business, actually.
Yeah, and how have you found the clientele uptake? Not necessarily figures wise, but more so, have you had a transition of the people that initially come in to the new breed or new style as people have got used to what the brand is and who you are?
Yeah, there has. Obviously, when we first started, it was pretty much all existing client base. And now that we're a year into it, and we do a little bit of marketing here and there, it's now started to bring in new people, new faces, and faces that we don't even know who they are, which is a bit weird. But it's great because we can now feel the reputation, and we're getting a lot of referrals now coming through. So it's nice to see that steady build.
Awesome. And how, where is the, where are you guys at now? You've got a team. So what are the sort of, how many have you got working for you now?
So there's six of us now, six personal trainers, and we are literally just in the process of looking for a seventh because we're kind of at capacity now with our existing one. So we need to kind of think about bringing that next one on board. And then we're also in the process of potentially looking at something different, a little bit different, like an expansion of form. So that's hopefully something that's going to happen within the next 6 months. But I don't want to say too much about that
No,
because
that's
we're
fine.
not quite clear about what that is ourselves, but there is something coming anyway.
Now, with a lot of businesses, their assumption will be we're just going to do personal training. You have additional revenue streams to the business, right?
Yeah, we do group personal training mainly as well.
Good. So, how, just to people that are thinking of doing a personal training studio, how's that differ to your kind of personal training product?
So group personal training, we just have 8 to 10 people max, because we are a small studio, we can't have big groups, and also we want to keep it individualized as well. And one of the really good things about having group personal training is it is a lot cheaper than one-on-one personal training. So when you've had a client who's perhaps been with you 3, 6 months and they've kind of got towards the end of their PT journey, it's a really good downsell to them and it keeps them in the net. So having people on your group personal training, it means that you can kind of upsell and downsell to them and keep people within your circle. So it's really good. It creates a great atmosphere when we have our group PT on, alongside our one-on-one personal
So,
training.
do you have that twice a day, once a day?
So we have 17 different classes that run across the week, and they're all at different times throughout the week. And we have a flexible approach so that people can jump on 3 sessions a week depending upon their diary. So we don't have it rigid. We have it so that it's very flexible and works for people's lifestyles.
Brilliant. So you've got essentially, and you don't have a membership there, so people either do semi-private training or personal training.
Yep, that's it.
Now you've got, we've got people listening right now who are thinking, I want to open up my own facility. If you had an opportunity to speak to them right now and give them any advice as to what they, a couple of things to watch out for and maybe some pitfalls that you guys have run into, what would you say?
I would say number one, do your research. You need to do, just like learning some kind of new PT education, you need to do business research. It's absolutely vital. Get a mentor, find someone who can help you get through that process because it is not an easy process at all. I'd say you really need to know your niche, know your USP and your demographic so that you can market towards them and understand the direction that you're going in. And I'd say as well, be prepared to be absolutely skint for a long time before you actually start making any money. And you know what, it's all part of the process, so it's enjoyable.
I think that's very, very valuable. And do you know one of the things you've touched on? And I don't know whether you guys will have touched on this, but I have. Libby, you mentioned in the middle of the podcast the word passion. And I think what's happening in the fitness industry is a lot of people are getting very, very, especially with social media, they're getting very, very excited with the whole idea of becoming this kind of wealth or celebrity. We entered the fitness industry because we love coaching people. Mm-hmm. No, I love coaching trainers and helping trainers grow, and I've done my long, long stint as an actual face-to-face personal trainer, and I still absolutely love my mission. And I think a lot of people, when they want to grow their business and grow their reputation, have to do what you've done, and that's realize that they're into something which is their passion. And if they show focus on something else, people are very quick to see that, right? People need to see your passion. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think people pick up on that very, very quickly, that you're just not interested. You know, I'm sure you see this a lot, you know, with your coaches, not just your coaches in the gym, but coaches in general. It's very obvious that they're just doing training sessions as opposed to coaching people because they love doing it. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's an important point for me to raise, that Libby said this a couple of times. She absolutely loves doing it. And when you get to the point of opening your gym, you've got to open your gym with the idea that you're not going to earn a lot of money to start with. You know, because
nothing.
Exactly. I mean, it took me just over 3.5 years to pay my loan back for M10.
Yeah.
And at that point, I didn't have a salary. Mm-hmm. And everybody looks at owning a gym and they go, God, you're going to make lots of money. And the reality is you've got to put a lot in to get some back.
And you know what? The reality of actually opening a personal training facility, there isn't that much money in it. You know, even if you've got kind of 10 personal trainers working for you, the reality is it's not a massively lucrative business at all. You mean you've got to pay horrible things like VAT and tax and all sorts of stuff that you don't think about, and you know, the bottom line isn't as lovely as you'd expect it to be.
No, but do you know what we're in the fitness industry for? Because we love it.
Exactly.
And we're in the fitness industry because we're changing lives and we're leaving a legacy. And yes, as you develop into your career, there's an opportunity to have different income streams and different opportunity to do things. But again, it's doing your time and doing your craft. Now, just before we started talking about passion, and this isn't a shameless plug for me in the slightest, what this is, Libby, you've had different mentors along the way, especially with your business mentor. Yeah. A lot of trainers at the moment are burying their heads in the sand. And they're studying online. And I know you've had your people come and mentor with you, right?
Yeah.
Right? And to that degree, your time in the fitness industry has got you to the point in your experience where people are now seeing you as an authoritative figure to learn from. If you had any advice to trainers in terms of not just the fact that you're mentoring now, the fact that you've had mentors, I still have them, I had them before, what value do you see in the mentors that you've had along the way?
Oh, so much value. I mean, accountability, direction, confidence in yourself, understanding yourself. You know, it's just having somebody to bounce ideas off, simply that, is invaluable in this industry. You know, and I would absolutely recommend getting a mentor, whatever avenue it is. It will help excel your business without a doubt.
And it's okay, you know, as you've explained, it's okay to bounce off having having your own coach as a mentor just for your physique. You know, mm-hmm. having a coach to teach you online marketing, having a coach to teach you other stuff. You know, having people alongside you is actually going to help you grow. I actually was going to put a piece of content out later about asking questions and getting out there asking questions. And I'm sure you nowadays have plenty of questions. But, you know, where we're at kind of now is the fact that we've got people not asking questions. We've got people giving up too soon. We've got people thinking that, you know, the fitness industry is going to be this incredibly lucrative profession 2 years in, when in fact, really, it's about hard work. It's about passion. It's about long hours. But ultimately, it's about helping people achieve results with the knowledge that you've developed over time. And you are an incredible example of that. And, you know, I think that, you know, if you're up in Manchester, would you be happy for, I'm sure if people want to contact you and just see what a facility looks like, right? If you're in Manchester and you're a trainer, I advise you to just pop in and see Libby. Not just pop in, but obviously contact you, whether it's on Instagram, and just to see what a personal training gym's all about. Because, you know, if you haven't been in one or understood what one is, or similarly, if you're in the Manchester area and you're a trainer and you want coaching, you know, look these guys up. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you guys?
I'd say to email us at info@formncr.com.
Because I'll tell you this, guys, Libby, you have your own coach, right?
I do, right?
And I have my own coaches and my own mentors. There's going to be a lot of trainers in Manchester right now who do not have their own trainer, their own coach. And you have somebody that's been in the fitness industry 11 years, who's opened up their own gym, who's doing fantastic work. If you look at the form page, you'll see the results they've got. You would be silly not to reach out to your local area and speak to people like Libby and get that level of experience from you. And I also will say that for you being a female that's carved her way, many females in the Manchester area are going to be struggling to know how to carve their way. And I know it's a passion of yours to be able to help females carve their path, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Honestly, like, genuinely would love to help. Like, even if it's just giving a little bit of advice, I'm all for that, definitely.
Good, good.
All for the females growing in the industry.
Good, good. Well, do you know what? Like, from my perspective, I just want to say thank you to you, because the point of this podcast is to allow people the opportunity to listen to other fitness professionals, listen to your challenges, listen to realities, listen to get some advice. Because without listening to people like Libby, who have been in the industry 11 years, you're listening to people that are in different professions, you're listening to multimillionaires and global figures, and getting very stressed out that you're not where they are. And the reality of listening to someone like Libby and myself is that we're in the fitness industry, and step one is about becoming very, very good at your craft. And Libby, you've showed us that in bundles. From a coaching perspective, before we leave, Libby, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. For any for a personal trainer out there, what's your final piece of advice in terms of becoming more successful as a trainer, whether it's training clients, whether it's owning your own gym? One final piece of advice.
I would say take every single thing that you learn with a pinch of salt. Don't ever take anything as gospel. Don't just kind of read an article and believe that's the way it is, or believe, you know, the how successful somebody's business seems to be on social media, that's the way it is, because it absolutely isn't. You've got to remember, no matter what, there's a million ways to skin a cat. And that's the great thing about this industry, is that there's so many different exciting ways that you can do things. And, you know, what people portray on social media isn't necessarily what's happening. So don't feel overwhelmed by what you're seeing, because, you know, everybody's struggling in their own little ways, whilst everybody's succeeding at the same time. So just keep going, I'd say.
Libby, do you know what? That is the most perfect way to end, because, guys, you're listening to somebody that's been there and done it and still doing it. And what you see on social media isn't reality. And Libby just nailed that for you. So I hope you took a lot away from the whole of today's podcast. And Libby, just remind everybody, in terms of your website, it is
formmcr.com.
Good. And your Instagram page?
Is FormMCR.
FormMCR. Great, guys. Go and have a look. And just personally, Libby, for anybody, it'd be really important for people to follow you. How do people follow you on Instagram?
Oh my God, you know, I never go on it anymore. It's Libby Smith Fitness.
Libby Smith Fitness. Guys, go on to Instagram. Yeah. If you're a trainer, you want to follow people that have been, you know, in the fitness industry, you know, quite a lot longer than you have yourself. And you want to look and listen and learn from somebody that's doing great things, follow Libby, follow Form online on the website, reach out to them if you're in Manchester, go and see the gym. And Libby, I just want to take this opportunity, we've known each other for 6 years, to say thank you. You're doing a great, amazing job. And I'm very grateful that you've come on the podcast today.
Oh, thanks. And thanks to you too.
Thank you. Guys, I shall speak to you soon on the next podcast. As always, thank you. If you found today's episode helpful, please jump on Instagram, leave me an Insta story, leave me a message, let me know how you found out. Drop Libby a message, because I love feedback. These podcasts, when I have somebody on, a guest on, is always going to be a little bit longer, because it's a conversation, and a conversation you're going to learn from, and one that I didn't want to cut short, because we don't get to do this very often at all. And so I hope you found today helpful. Guys, I shall speak to you all very, very soon. Thank you, Libby.